Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
It's really not about us. It's about what we're supposed to be doing for the other person.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
We still can plan, but we're planning with God.
I felt like I got more information that confirmed that what we were doing was in line with the truth of God.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely...
Hi, I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And Betty will open up with a prayer, as we always do, so if you'll join us wherever you are, and if you're riding in your car, just join us silently and listen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe and Patroness of the Americas, you brought an end to the human sacrifices on the Aztec altars in the 16th century by means of your image on the cloak of St. Juan Diego. So now we ask you to come to our aid and bring an end to the sacrificing of our preborn children on the altar of sexual excess and convenience. Bring us leaders who will respect life from the first moment of conception until natural death. Make them strong, honest, and moral men and women. And through their efforts, save our nation from moral annihilation and make us a culture of life. Holy Virgin of Guadalupe, Queen of Peace, save the nations and peoples of this continent. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we have a special dedication here at our program, NFP for Life on Holy Spirit Radio, we welcome you back to our program live for the first time in 2 months.
It's been a while.
We weren't here in December and January because of just circumstances beyond our control in relating to us not being able to physically be here. So we're thrilled to be back. And we have a great program for you here today. And we're going to cover a couple of different topics. And we're going to start out in the beginning of talking about two really great causes that are coming up in a very short period of time. This will be a little bit of a repeat from Bill and Jeanette's program on Voices of the Unborn earlier this week. But Betty and I both are so excited and feel so strongly about these causes that we feel that it bears repeating. And we'd like to make sure that everyone out there who's listening to this radio station and who are supporters of Catholic Radio give some serious consideration, if not supporting us in prayer, supporting us either by your physical presence or by a monetary donation to support these causes that we are going to speak. I do want you to know that this is a live call-in radio program, and so you're welcome to call us at 215-345-1570. We'd also like to welcome our listeners out at WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville and that surrounding area, and we're thrilled to be able to come to you as well as the listeners at 1570 AM. So, Betty, why don't you start telling everybody a little bit about what's coming up on February 28th?
Well, next Saturday, February 28th, we are having a Night for Life. And this is like a first-time fundraising effort for two wonderful organizations that both of us tend to be involved in one way or the other. But the first one is for the Bucks County Community Women's Center, which is a crisis pregnancy center, which only opened about a year ago. And they have done great and marvelous things since their opening and saving children from abortion. And so we need to help raise funds to keep this center going and to keep it alive and keep it available to those that are in crisis, that want to save their babies from destruction. And they help women with that are pregnant, and even women that have just had babies, young babies, help them with supplies and things like that, medical expenses and encouragement that they can live their life, and that each one of these children that are born is here for a reason, and God has a plan. And our second organization is one that is promoted through this radio station, Holy Spirit Radio, and it's called the King's Men, and Mark Houck and Damian Morgo head that organization. And that's an organization that is fighting for the quality of our
fatherhood,
of our fatherhood and of manhood, and the respect that they need to display towards women, chastity, and much more. I mean, there was an interview earlier where, you know, they actually are helping to close down some of these pornographic establishments, because they want to stop this attack on women and life and the evil that's going on out there. So we are helping to promote this Night for Life, February 28th. It's being held at the Trenton Country Club in Trenton, New Jersey. And we have been blessed by a family that is going to donate, has donated the location and all the food, and has enabled us to take all the proceeds to give to these organizations. So 99% of the monies is going directly to this organization. I think the only monies that we may have had to put out is maybe postage.
And the printing of the tickets.
And the printing of the tickets. So we have an ad book. We have a silent auction coming up. And it's going to be a wonderful night. But the best part is it's going to raise money for two great organizations. And what I'm so endeared to is that the people that head up these organizations are formerly Generation Life people that have grown up into adulthood now and are bringing this culture of life to the younger people, but also the people in their age group, and they're growing. They live this message at a young age, so I think it's amazing.
And the other thing about these people that head up these organizations that is really important to pay attention to is that all of these people, Jessica Baer, who's the executive director down at Bucks County Community Women's Center, and Mark Houck and Damian Wargo, all have college degrees and advanced training, and they could all be out in the business world and the corporate world making much larger salaries and having much better benefits, and they've given up that secular world to take on a ministry to fight the culture of death and to bring the culture of life. And as we have spoken so many times in the past on this program, as I'm sitting here looking at a poster with John Paul II standing in front of a picture of the crucified Christ holding up a monstrance with the Eucharistic presence in the monstrance, that he spoke that we are in a new springtime of evangelization, and we have a whole new generation. We were just out in the foyer before we came into the booth here speaking with the young Patrick McCabe, who here runs up the program here at Holy Spirit Radio and runs all the mechanics and logistics and has his own program here. And you heard him this morning broadcasting the mass for this fallen police officer in Philadelphia with the mass from the cathedral and commentating on that. So we have an entire group of young people, and we have some young people on our committee, and our committee has worked really hard and A lot of people have donated a phenomenal amount of support and a phenomenal amount of goods in a very short period of time. And there were times when the committee was frustrated. There were times when the committee was contemplating the possibility of postponing the event. There were times when it looked like we weren't going to be able to have this happen. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit and through the intercession of Our Lady, who we pray to at every committee meeting, there was a momentum that gradually built and built and built until we finally arrived at where we are now, where a week and a half away from this event, we have over 120 paid tickets, and we have another 30 people that may be coming. Tickets are still available. The hall holds 300. It's not too late to come. Anyone that's interested, you can certainly go to the website at allthekingsmen.org.
Okay. Yeah, just
thekingsmen.org, and information is available there. You can call the radio station here to get information. You can email the radio station. You can call 215-321-6698, and we'll announce that number again as we go through. To make arrangements to let us know you're coming, you can pay at the door, but we do need a head count. There is a caterer, and we do need to know approximately how many people are coming. We're a week and a half away. This is the final push, and it's not too late. And if you can't come, it's not too late to make a donation. Donations are made out to the Bucks County Community Women's Center. That's BCCWC. It's a not-for-profit corporation, tax-exempt, so your donations, either in finances or the cost of your tickets and the cost of donations to the auction of anything that's donated, are tax-deductible. We have some phenomenal items. We're going to have a phenomenal menu. We have some guest speakers. Molly Kelly is going to join us, and John Stanton. If you wanted to consider them the royalty of pro-life and the pro-life movement in the Philadelphia area, they are both great supporters of the pro-life movement, as well as the center and the King's Men. We're going to have Jimmy Murray, who was the general manager of the Eagles back in 1993 when the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl the last time. That's going to be our guest MC for a couple of hours. He can only come over from 7 to 9. So it starts at 7 o'clock. It's over at 11. It looks like it's going to be a great evening, a great event. We're hoping to raise some significant funds. You have to understand that, you know, as much as Betty and I hate asking for money and we hate begging, it's one of Betty's favorite things
I'm
to do
terrible with that.
Is to ask people for money. But, you know, our Lord gives us all gifts, and he gives us all graces, and he gives us all time and talent and treasure. And what he asks back, and there are many gospels and many parables, the story of the talents and the story of the coins and the person who buried their coin in the ground and then another who converted and doubled the amount of coins that they have. And the rewards come from your voluntary giving of your time and your talent and your treasure. And if you don't have the time and you don't have the talent, but you have the treasure, we'll take that. If you don't have the treasure, we'll take your time, and we need the volunteers. And if you don't have the time, we'll take your talent. And it takes very little of any talent to pray. And
right.
God knows that we need prayer. We need everything that we can get. If you could just say a Hail Mary or an intercessory prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe as we used to open the radio program. Anything that you can do. This program goes out to thousands of people in this area. And every day it broadcasts through the grace of God through another generous donation of supporters of the program, because Holy Spirit Radio is another not-for-profit organization that's constantly looking for support and donations. And the only way that these types of organizations and these types of movements will survive and become tools to help us fight this battle against the culture of death is with your support. We can't do it alone. The committee doesn't mind meeting and getting together and coming up with the ideas and working out the logistics and everything like that. But we cannot do this without your help. We can't do it without your support. And so we're here to give you one last request. A week from tomorrow, We're going to have this phenomenal fundraising event for anybody who's never been to the Trenton Country Club. There's an opportunity to come to a very, as they say in the neighborhood, a very classy joint with really good food and free booze. Okay? And so you can come over and have some drinks and have some decent food. We have auction items that run from the low end to the high end. Probably close to 100 different items that you can bid on, which you can have some fun with, and maybe take home some really great gifts. Anybody that's planning a vacation this summer, and if you normally rent a house down the shore, we have two shore houses that you can bid on and get for less than what you'd pay through real estate. We know that this is a tough economy. We know that the housing market's down. We know that people are suffering in losing their jobs, and their 401ks are down, and their investments are down. And you hear every day that the banking industry is in trouble and that the economy is in trouble. Well, I'm here to tell you that all of those things are of this world, and they will not build up any talents or any treasure for you to take forward with you. But anything that you do to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the unclothed, to help the poor, and to protect the unborn will be rewarded. And that parable where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and says that this is what you need to do. And they turn around and say, Lord, when did we ever see you naked? When did we ever see you hungry? When did we ever see you thirsty? And Jesus turns around and says, whenever you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. And so we need to request that you seriously look in your heart and consider that any amount of donation will be gratefully accepted and prayerfully accepted, and it will help build up your reward, in, if not in this world, in the next, as far as giving of time and talent and treasure. Betty will mention to you a couple of items because she is on the auction committee that handles all of the items.
Oh,
and
wow.
We certainly can't go through all of them in the time that we have here in the program, but we're going to try to broadcast them a little bit through an email. So here's a perfect opportunity to do it verbally.
We have
off the top of her head.
Some of the most amazing items. I'm telling you, I better make sure I have some money in my checking account, because the most exquisite religious art that is old pieces that were from great grandmothers' homes and things like that that we've obtained and we've had refurbished and reframed and things like that. We have the most magnificent pictures of Jesus and Mary and Saint Therese, and it's just Madonna and Child over and over again. Things from Italy, right from Italy, just amazing, beautiful art. And like Les said, we have a couple of shore houses. We have a trip to Fort Lauderdale, a trip to Cancun. We have Phillies paraphernalia. We have Eagles tickets. We got
Super Box at the Flyers for 10.
Oh, it just
rounds of golf at private country clubs where you would never have the opportunity to play as a other than as a member. Aronimink, Trenton Country Club, Bluebell Country Club. What's the one up in Princeton?
I don't know.
Bedrock Country Club, yeah. I think it's called, up in Princeton. So these are private exclusive clubs that unless you're a member, you would never be able to play.
And since a lot of people aren't going out to dinner lately, we have a bunch of dinner gift certificates to great places for dinner.
Bottle of Opus 1.
Yeah, we have expensive wine. And so we just have some amazing items. And it's going to be a lot
of fun. Golf clubs, golf balls.
Yeah, a lot of sports things, too. We have, like, signed football and bats and T-shirts from the
electronics.
We have electronics. We have some equipment that you can use for your computers. I can't even think of everything, but, I mean, we have amazing items. So we would love for you to come. If you can't, again, and you'd like to make a donation to these two wonderful causes, but most especially, we want you to be aware that we are out here fighting day in and day out for life, for the respect of human life, respect for women and children, and for the unborn, and for family life, for marriages and families and fathers and mothers. So we need to let you know that we're here. We want to know that you're on board for all of this, because we are really fighting in this culture of death. And we need to just don't give up, just keep marching on.
And anybody that's interested in going and can make a decision right now, call us right now at 215-345-1570. Give us your name and your telephone number. We'll get the tickets to you. You can send us a check. We'll tell you where to mail it. You won't have to go to the website. You won't have to remember anything. And we can hook you up right now while we're live right here on the radio program. Just to give you a little bit of background about what these organizations do, the Bucks County Community Women's Center opened last March of 2008. And it took a while to get a sign. They're directly across the street from Planned Parenthood. The most significant thing is that they're in Bristol, right here in Bucks County, right in our backyard. And so this is a local organization doing local work. And ultimately, since July, there have been 5 saves, meaning 5 women presented themselves to the Crisis Pregnancy Center with the idea of attempting to seek out information related to an abortion, and were managed to be counseled and prayed and did change their minds and decided to not kill their children. One of these babies has already been placed in adoption to a family. And the other 4, they carried their children to term. Arrangements are made to counsel and support these women through their pregnancies, food, clothing, appropriate social service references, financial support, furniture, infant clothing, formula, vitamins, references for prenatal care. It's not a medical office. They don't provide any medical care there, but appropriate references to make sure that they get care. And so everything that they need to support them through their pregnancies and support life, and it's 5 in just 9 months. 5 babies' lives have been saved in just 9 months. That's almost 1 every 2 months. Imagine how much more we could do. We have to keep this center open, and it's not financed or funded through anyone or anything other than donations. And so there are costs. Praise be to God that the home, the location, is donated by an individual who owns a private home. And he's one of the individuals that you'll get an opportunity to meet if you come to the Night for Life, along with the board members, the executive board members of the Crisis Pregnancy Center, the executive director. And so you'll get to meet pro-life people. You'll get to be able to have the opportunity, if you're interested in donating any of your goods or services or time, you can go over there and spend some time, help catalog and organize some of the supplies and equipment and things that they have there, and interact with Jessica, answer the phone, take some phone calls. It's all volunteer. Everything about the whole organization is all volunteer. So the monies go directly to support the center and keep the center open. You may have read in the paper and the bulletin earlier in the week, if you get the bulletin, and I would recommend highly that if you don't, that it's supporting a very Christian newspaper that has a lot of truthful information and is pro-life, that the King's Men were able, through prayer and through their efforts and demonstrations, to close a strip club down in Chester County called Coyotes. And
I don't think it was Chester. It was up by
Montgomery County. I'm sorry.
By Quakertown.
Yeah, and they shut it down with support of the community and with their protest, and it took a year, but they finally managed to close them down, and that's one of their goals, in addition to supporting and promoting and educating about manhood and fatherhood And these guys are out there trying to educate and bring family life back into a fullness of the richness of family life and culture that we deserve and that our children deserve and that our families deserve in order to restore some semblance of life to our culture. So these are just some of the things that are available. There are retreats that are held during the year by these young men. And we know that there's a lot of competition from a lot of other sources.
And that's a couple of two auction items. We have a single retreat, and we have a couple's retreat for one of our auction items.
Out of Malvern.
Which is pretty cool, I think.
We have some discounts for some trips to Birmingham, Alabama, with his father's vineyard, and another discount for a trip to Italy. There's just a lot of really great stuff, and if you can't afford to bid on the items, I mean, and there are some low-end items, some high-end items, just come out and
there's
have a great night.
Something for everybody,
You know, have a drink and meet Bill Miller, the president of the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Meet Betty and I. Meet Dale and Jane Meyer. Meet Patrick McCabe and his new wife, Karen. They're all going to be there, and everybody that supports life, everybody on the board of the Kingsmen, everybody on the board, the Bucks County Community Women's Center. So there's going to be a lot of people there, Molly Kelly, John Stanton. The other conference, the other organization, the other meeting that we'd like to tell you about, which kind of plays off of this whole culture of death, culture of life thing, is sponsored by the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. This is what we do here in our ministry, Natural Family Planning. I happen to be, for the time being, the president of that organization, of which we have over 500 people on the mailing list. And we also have the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association, the Guild, and we also have St. Mary Medical Center, who's been a very generous supporter and donor. And this is our sixth straight year of having an annual conference. And we've had lots of talks over the last couple of years on natural family planning, authentic Catholic health care. We've talked about bringing natural family planning into parishes, into family life, business plans for marketing natural family planning. We've talked about the science of natural family planning. We've talked about motherhood, fatherhood, and things like that. And this year, we decided to go with a slightly younger type of program, and so we're going the chastity abstinence route. We don't think that there's enough information that's out there that people really know what chastity and abstinence is all about. So we want to tell you what chastity and abstinence is. We want to tell you the language to speak. If you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're in high school, college, 20-something, 30-something,
even a grandparent to help. I mean, this is a lifestyle. This is for life. These are these beautiful virtues that God has given us, and the fabulous. I love the title of this this conference, and it's called "The Thrill of the Chaste." Do abstinence programs really work? Well, guess what? They really do work. But we have to teach our children at a young age what abstinence and what chastity is, and help them. And a lot of parents, teachers, they're awkward about this. This is to reinforce the message that you need to start presenting, because we are saturated in our media with nothing but sex outside of marriage and violence and the sexual promiscuity on every station on the television drives me crazy. It's in every commercial, all these commercials and these TV shows. So we are speaking out. We're speaking the truth, and we want to promote this truth. And we're going to present this truth. And we would love for you to attend. This Thrill of the Chaste, the last couple of years we've had our conferences. How many did you say this
Six.
Was? This is our sixth one. The last 5 years, it was held at St. Mary Medical Center because they had fabulous conference rooms. But they had to do some building at the hospital. So We had to move our location, but the hospital so graciously is still supporting us, and they are going to supply the food, and they have really saved us a ton of headache and money. So because they believe in this message, and this is their mission for the area.
And for a Catholic healthcare institution, this is part of their ministry and their mission to minister to the community, and this is directly in the community. And again, the only Catholic hospital in Bucks County, a local hospital, a local hospital administration, Franciscan Healthcare, Catholic Hospital System East, the Catholic Medical Association of Philadelphia. You know, these are local, this is local family support. And so these people are going out of their way to help promote and support this. And what we need is we need your attendance. This is not one now about money. It's so not about money. When Betty tells you how much it costs, you'll be embarrassed.
This we don't make any money on this conference day. We make no money whatsoever. Sometimes we're even in the red, but that's okay. This program, we are going to give you breakfast and lunch, and the price is $15 a person, $25 a couple, and if you're a student, it's only $10. You can't go to McDonald's for $10. So you're going to get breakfast and lunch and a day's worth of wonderful information, and again, the topic, the thrill of the chase. Excuse me. Do abstinence programs really work?
And the new location that Betty was talking about, it's going to be held at Our Lady of Good Counsel Trinity Parish Center at 611 Knowles Avenue in Southampton. And this is a cute little story about how we came upon this location. Betty and I and another couple, Michael and Lisa Ann Castagno, were invited to give a talk on NFP. Several months ago, about a week or so after I was notified by St. Mary that the conference center was not going to be available. And this was going to be on a Friday night. So Michael and Lisa Ann and Betty and I met for dinner prior to our talk, and we got over there around quarter after seven. And this is a relatively brand-new parish center that just opened maybe a year or so ago. And it's separate from the church, and it's really a good testament to the support of the people in a parish of Our Lady of Good Counsel. And I think it's no small coincidence that the parish is named after Our Lady, because she really takes care of us, and she keeps popping up in our life all the time. So we went there with the intent that we were going to make this presentation, the four of us, and we kind of talked at dinner about how we would handle who would talk first and what we would do with the logistics. And when we got there, there were four or five women from the parish who had coffee and tea and donuts and cakes and everything all set up. And 7:30 came, and nobody showed up. And 7:45 came, and nobody showed up. And 8 o'clock came, and nobody showed up. Not one person. So we decided, well, then fine. We'll drink the coffee and eat the donuts. And while we were sitting there chatting with the people who are sponsoring and inviting us, the pastor, Father Anthony D'Angelico, came over to introduce himself and say hello and see how things were going. And when he saw that no one showed up, he was extremely apologetic, and I started complimenting him on his parish center. And then I started telling him about our conference and how we had lost our opportunity to be able to go to St. Mary's. And he immediately turned around and said, how'd you like to have it here? And so here's Mary, through the intercession of her, through her son, providing us with this conference center that holds up to 180 people, chairs, tables, everything, plenty of free parking. We have a nationally renowned chastity and abstinence speaker by the name of Dawn Eden coming up from Washington, D.C., another amazing story about her arrival and coming, again through the intercession of Our Lady, who's going to share her conversion story as well as her book called The Thrill of the Chaste. Now, the amazing thing about this program is that none of the speakers are over the age of 35. In all the other years, we've had all these priests and deacons and physicians and nurses and other speakers. Not that, you know, more mature people don't have information to spread, but we're trying to get this message out to the younger people. And we want young people to come. We want you parents to bring your high school, college-age children. We want you to bring your 20-somethings and your 30-somethings. We want you to come and hear Dawn's story. We want you to come and hear Judy McLean Neild, the president of Generation Life. We want you to come and hear Mark Houck, president and co-founder of the King's Men. We want you to come and hear Christina Barbera, the high school outreach coordinator for Generation Life. We want you to come and hear Dawn Eden, and we want you to come and hear Jessica Baer and Matt Chaminski, her fiancé, and they're going to speak in young persons' languages about how you can live a chaste and abstinent lifestyle in this culture and be modest and have fun and enjoy yourself. And they're going to teach the language that the parents need to discuss these things with their children. It's totally appropriate for high school and up. I would encourage all the youth groups to come. I would encourage all the parish. I've sent flyers to everyone. If you're interested in registering, please go to pnfpn.org. Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, pnfpn.org. The registration form is on the website. You can print it up, pull it off, mail it in, send your money, let us know you're coming. Again, we need a head count. I need it by the end of the week. The conference is going to be held on Saturday, March the 7th, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Free parking, breakfast, lunch, $15 a person. You can't get two meals anywhere for $15.
No.
Good food catered by Liberty Bell Catering from Joseph's Garden Grill in Pendel, another local establishment, paid for by St. Mary's Medical Center, supported by the Catholic Medical Association. Please join us. Please come. Please support us. We need your registration. We need your bodies. We need you physically present. And then we need you to leave and go out and spread the message. There will be some vendors available with some information, brochures, books, tapes, things like that. And we just need you to show up and support us and pray for us. So that's the end of the commercial. It was a half-hour commercial.
Oh, wow. It was a long one,
but,
I'll tell you.
But it was an important one.
Absolutely. And this is important. That this message of chastity and respect for human life and one another is out there, because we have to constantly repeat our message over and over and over again, because we are being bombarded by the evil one, and we want to spread this good news, the good news, and the good news is, there's a lot of good people out there that care about the good news. And we just want you to show up. Let us know that you care so much. And we'll be willing to stand beside one another and walk this path, because it's not so bad. I'm really enjoying this. I always thought, I tell last one time I went on this retreat, and the priest said, well, you know, there's people that live in the real world. And then there's people that live in the really real world. Well, we're trying to reach the real world and show them the really real world. So come on March 7th, 2009, pnfpn.org. Go online to register. And it's $15 a person, $25 a couple, $10 for religious and students. We'd love to see you there, March 7th.
Now shifting.
One other place. At Our Lady of Good Counsel at 611 Knowles Avenue, which is right near Street Road and 232. Go ahead.
So now, part of this whole respect for life that Betty was just talking about was reiterated in a document that I think is really important to bring up. And you may hear more about this, depending on how we're moved going into the future, but I want to introduce you to this document because it was released by the Vatican on December the 12th, 2008, on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and again, Our Lady, the patroness of the Americas, as Betty read in the opening prayer, is protecting us, and she put an end to all of the sacrificial murders that were taking place in the Aztec population in Mexico and converted it over to the predominantly Catholic country that it is today. And it was through her intercession. And so we need her intercession at a big time because we're killing our babies. And this document is called Dignitas Personae, or the Dignity of a Person. And so we're just going to give you a little bit of introductory information and a little bit of an overview, because this is a document that speaks to the dignity of human life and the importance of a person. So, Betty, why don't you tell them a little bit about this whole introductory aspect of what this means with this document?
Well, the document says yes to life and marriage. And the dignity of a person may appear to be rather lengthy series of no's to various contemporary fertility treatments and embryo manipulation and genetic enhancement. Such a perception would miss the heart of its teachings. Dignitas Personae states that the very outset that it wishes to emphasize the great yes to human life. This positive, resounding, fundamental yes to human life and to the integrity of marriage echoes throughout Dignitas Personae. Within this content of the great yes, Dignitas Personae says yes to all science and medicine that is ethically pursued. It says yes to those fertility treatments that overcome or correct pathology and succeed in reestablishing the normal functioning of human procreation. It says yes to the therapeutic use of stem cells so long as the inherent dignity of human person is maintained and protected. Above all, it says yes to the intrinsic worth, value, and equality of every human being from conception to natural death. And only when this basic right to life is attacked or threatened, or when procreation within the bond of a loving marriage is directly assaulted, does Dignitas Personae say no.
Now, this is a follow-up document to Donum Vitae, written by John Paul back in 1985, I believe it was, or maybe 87, that speaks to furthering and explaining some of the issues that I'm going to bring up right now. It answers the question. I'm just going to go through just a brief outline of what's new in this instruction, because it updates and reaffirms the conclusion of the previous encyclical. And I would challenge you, and I would say to you, anybody out there who's never read an encyclical, you have no idea what you're missing. You read books, you read newspapers, you need magazines, you read novels, you may even read the Bible. But if you've not read some of the encyclicals written by John Paul and now by Benedict XVI, you have no idea how rich our Catholic heritage and our Catholic teaching is. And our church, the Catholic Church, has all of the answers to all of the questions that our society is constantly asking, and the truthful answers. So the first question that everybody's been asking, you know, you've heard us talk before about the several hundred thousand embryos that are frozen in freezers around the country, and people arguing back and forth about whether or not it would be valid to adopt these embryos, because if you just take them out of the freezer and thaw them, they'll die. And you can't just kill them. And it's, you know, against church teaching for IVF. And so reimplanting them in somebody's uterus would be an equivalent of IVF. So they were always in limbo. Well, the instruction praises the motivation of couples who want to rescue frozen embryos that are being abandoned by their own parents. But without rejecting the practice outright, it cites various problems like those leading the church to reject the use of donor embryos to resolve a couple's fertility. The fact is that there may be no morally sound solution for large numbers of human embryos now in frozen storage, underscoring how wrong it is to produce and freeze them in the first place. So the church recognizes that there are a lot of people out there who want to have babies. It recognizes the dignity of the human life of these embryos that are frozen. It recognizes the good intent that everyone has, but it also is saying that you cannot do an evil to achieve a good, and recognizing teaching of not being able to separate the unitive and the procreative aspects of human reproduction and artificial assisted reproductive technology, which is necessary to accomplish the reimplantation of these embryos. These embryos are kind of in a status of limbo. It also talks about anti-implantation drugs and devices. This is kind of a new language now that comes up with some new terms. And although we may not know the mode of action of some drugs, the instruction in this document says that there is valid evidence that there is an anti-implantation or abortifacient effect of some of these medications, including the morning after pill and the birth control pill and IUDs. And therefore, those who request or those who prescribe these drugs or devices to prevent implantation or survival of an embryo that could possibly be conceived are guilty of the sin of abortion.
Wow.
Another topic that has been a very current topic is gene therapy. And they've talked about the manipulation of genes and correcting a specific genetic defect in cells of an individual patient and genetic engineering, which raises some basic issues of the risk and benefit of other medical techniques. Special caution is raised about germline gene therapy, which would affect all of the person's cells, including their reproductive cells, and therefore potentially affect human generations. So human germline gene therapy is not accepted. In other words, any genetic therapy that could potentially affect an egg or a sperm is not acceptable as far as scientific intervention is concerned in its current state, due to massive and unpredictable effects and risks that it may have to manipulate human embryos in the laboratory. Talking about genetic enhancement and designer babies, which is another topic when you're getting into all this fetal stem cell and embryonic stem cell research, you're talking about the possibility of cloning, and you're talking about the possibility of manipulating genetics to create a better human being. Beyond the medical risk that might be involved, Dignitatis Personae speaks directly against the attitude of being dissatisfied with finite human nature that would drive new divisions between groups of human beings, where one group says that this group is better than another group, so we're going to manipulate the genes to create more of this group. And it would create an arbitrary and questionable criteria that some would use to be what they call a better human being and basically take over God's role in creation.
Mm.
You know, we humans think that because we have the availability of some of the scientific information and the scientific ability that we can create life, that we can now take this new life and manipulate it, manipulate its genes, you know, take a person who's a super athlete and take their genes and clone them and put it into another person and make another human super athlete, you know, clone world leaders, you know, pick people that are brighter, smarter, more athletic, thinner, healthier, and it would create an entire class discrimination and would set up humans that are coming up with guidelines on how to determine this and therefore interfere with God's choice. We just need to leave this to God's judgment. Another topic that it addresses is embryonic stem cells. It advances new information in the producing of using stem cells without harm to human life, predominantly adult stem cells. There was an article earlier this week in the Bulletin, and I saw it also in a medical journal, that a young man in Japan had fetal stem cells injected into his brain to treat a brain abnormality.
I saw that, yeah.
And unfortunately grew significant tumors in his brain that are now threatening his life. And when they went in to remove these tumors, they determined on pathology that these tumors were directly descended from the fetal cells that were injected into his brain from a killed embryo where they took the cells. So anything that has to do with altering the human cloning procedure and creating embryonic stem cells, altered nuclear transfer, oocyte-assisted reprogramming, it would have to be proved that these techniques do not risk creating and then destroying a human person before they could be used. It's great that there's scientific interest in these procedures, but fortunately the interest in them is starting to decrease with the discovery of new techniques for reprogramming adult stem cells. And I know that you may have all heard that they were able to reprogram skin cells into neurologic tissue a couple of months ago out in California. The next topic that it speaks to, and this again, it just amazes me. People out there don't think that the church addresses these things, and this one is to me rather disgusting and appalling. And as a scientist and a physician, human-animal hybrid embryos, mixing the genetics of a human with the genetics of an embryo to create a hybrid, such as animal eggs, in attempts at human cloning. Considering the health risks and the mixing of animal and human elements capable of disrupting the identity of the nature of man. You know, God created the animals, and then God created man. And then God turned around to Adam and Eve and said, "You will have dominion over all these animals that I created." And he didn't say to man to be fruitful and multiply with the animals.
It almost sounds science fiction.
It is. It's
so
totally science
bizarre.
Fiction. I mean, there have been horror films out there about this kind of a problem that exists. And then it also the document also discusses the use of unethically obtained cells and tissues, especially with respect to vaccines that are derived from embryonic stem cells from abortion victims. And this goes back 40 and 50 years, where some of the original vaccines for measles, mumps, and rubella were actually derived from destroyed human embryos. And talks that warns that the criteria of independence, a clear separation between the researcher who unethically obtained the material, is not sufficient to exempt researchers from moral complicity, which basically means, all right, these cells were obtained many, many years ago. I'm a researcher now, and I'm going to come up with a new vaccine. It's my ethical and moral responsibility to make sure that I'm obtaining the cells that I'm using to create the vaccine were from a legitimate moral source. And you have to take into consideration that although the uses of some such material may be justified by proportionately grave reasons, for example, danger to children's health, warning the use of the vaccine, it should mobilize consciences to find other vaccines and other sources, and a lot of other newer vaccines have come into use. So there's a lot of new instruction in this document. This document is an instruction directly from the Vatican Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith. All the conclusions of the document are based on the dignity of each and every human person from conception to natural death. I'm really overwhelmingly pleased, and I don't even think I had a chance to talk to you about this, but earlier in the week, the House of Representatives in North Dakota introduced a bill documenting that embryos have the rights of a person from the moment of conception. And the bill passed 51-41 in the House.
Wow.
And now goes to the Senate. If the Senate passes this bill, what it does is it essentially outlaws abortion in the state of North Dakota.
Praise God.
If the abortion industry challenges it, it'll go to the Supreme Court of North Dakota. If they can't resolve it, it'll go to the Supreme Court of the United States. And if they approve this, giving personhood to human embryos, it'll reverse the effects of Roe v. Wade, give personhood status to embryos, dignify embryos in the created blessing that they are coming directly from God, and essentially turn on the heels all the attempts of the current administration with respect to the Prevention First Act, which is in the House and to be acted on a little bit later in the year, FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act, which would negate all the conscience clauses. We talked about this a little bit before, and prevent people from physicians and healthcare providers from acting according to their conscience, and force Catholic hospitals to provide abortions and sterilization procedures, and basically potentially shut down the entire Catholic healthcare system of the United States if they chose to not agree with this federal guideline. So we're having very, very positive steps that are moving in the direction of challenging the culture of death, of supporting the culture of life. I would ask you to go online to the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops website to read this document or a summary of this document in full. And I would ask you to support us in prayer. I would ask you to support us by your generous donations, both the Holy Spirit Radio as well as the Bucks County Community Women's Center and the King's Men. And I would ask you to support these upcoming events for the Night for Life on February 28th and the Thrill of the Chase Chastity and Abstinence Conference on March the 7th. So I thank you very much for listening, and Betty's going to close with a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel.
St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the malice and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to you, O Prince of Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who roam through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned next month and join us for the Night for Life and the Thrill of the Chaste.
God bless.
God bless.